But so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Isn't it nice to have all that collection stuff out of the way, right? Out of the way. Listen, I got a question for you here this afternoon. When someone does you wrong, when they cross your path, when they upset you, when they offend you, or otherwise upset your apple cart, what do you do? Do you respond, or do you react? And by respond, I mean that you are thoughtful, deliberate, in control of your words and your actions. And by react, I mean that you are emotional, impulsive, spontaneous, and quite frequently say and do things that you later regret. What do you do? Respond or react? And just to limit the scope of our imagining, let's say that we're talking only about the ordinary events of daily life. This wouldn't be anything that would involve breaking the law, threatening someone's life, or otherwise violating anybody's civil rights, okay? Regular events of life. I think you'd have to agree. Most people react, don't they? Most people don't respond. They react. They get very emotional, they get very irrational, little outbursts of anger, little pity party, or play little passive-aggressive games, or they get on social media and go to town, right? They react. Today, you want to stop and consider a very reasonable request, commandment that our Lord gives of us. He asks us not to react, but to respond. It's very hard, but he tells us how. All right. I had an Irish great-grandmother who used to dole out marriage advice. She used to say, when you're married, dear, you got to be a little bit deaf and a little bit dumb. In other words, in any relationship, you'd be very wise to recognize that there are several personal faults and behaviors. You'd just be very wise to completely overlook them, right? A little bit deaf and a little bit dumb. However, in any relationship, there are some behaviors that you can't overlook. They require painful confrontation. Sometimes they require painful amputation. Very, very hard. Why is it hard? Well, because we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do. And we don't know when to say it and we don't know how to say it, and most of all, it's hard because people don't take correction well, do they? What, they react. They don't respond. They react. They get very upset. They don't listen to the message. They just shoot the messenger. And it's very, very hard. It takes no small measure of humility to properly talk to somebody about a behavior that just can't continue. It takes a lot of humility, a lot of self-control, a lot of self-forgetfulness, and a lot of love. I love what our second reading said today. Did you hear that? St. Paul says, there's only one thing you owe everyone else, love. It's the only thing we owe one another. I love the way our first reading put this from Ezekiel. Did you listen to this? Tells us how important it is that we correct behaviors that must not continue. You know, he says, if you don't speak out, the wicked will die for his guilt. You know what? I'll hold you responsible for his death, says the Lord. But if you do speak out, and he still refuses to turn from his way, even if he dies for his guilt, you'll save your life. Now, Jesus tells us how to correct people. He says, do it in three stages. Three stages. Number one, when there's been an offense, go to the person himself and tell him. If that doesn't work, then you bring it to somebody else. You bring it to a larger group. If that doesn't work, he says, take it to the church. Let's look at each one of those three. First of all, once you've decided that an issue is worth fighting about, right? And understand, that's always step number one. Whenever there's been an offense and you recognize, I can't live with this. Step number one is to take the issue to the person himself who caused the offense. Not to the boss, not to the bishop, not to the principal, not to the pastor, not to the manager, not to the Facebooks and the Instagrams, not in gossip, not in backbiting. Talk to the person himself. And nobody ever does this. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do this? Because it's hard, right? Because it's very, very hard. But let me tell you something. You know what's even harder? Sitting there and doing nothing. Everybody wants a peaceful life. Nobody wants conflict. But please, don't try to live in a fool's peace. Real peace requires that sometimes you have to fight. So how do you do it? How do you do it? Well, the best I could tell you would be just, first of all, to state the facts. Don't accuse, don't point fingers, don't say, you're always so this, and you're always doing that, and you don't. Just the facts, ma'am. State what happened, state why it's a problem, state that it needs to change. Don't worry about picking the right words, don't worry about saying it in the right way. You know what matters far more than that? Caring about the one you're talking to, and believe me, they can tell. If I could offer you just one tiny little word of advice, it would be this. Don't use the word I if you can possibly avoid it. When you're correcting somebody, the last thing anyone wants to find out is that it's all about you. Don't worry about success. Don't worry about failure. Success and failure are God's categories. And you know quite well from your own experience that success often comes days, weeks, months, even years later, right? So just say it. Just say it. Just raise it and then put it in God's hands. If that does nothing, okay, then you take it to step number two. Then you bring in the boss, right? Then you bring in the manager. Then you bring in a friend or two, because if somebody brings a problem to your front doorstep and several people are all saying the same thing, that's very hard to ignore. I like the way Fulton Sheen once said it. He said, if she's saying it, and he's saying it, and he's saying it, you better own it. Very hard to ignore. But as you know quite well, some people are quite capable of being really pig-headed about this kind of thing, and they'll ignore the whole world of being against them. They don't even care. Okay, what do you do then? Then you take it to the third level. You bring it, as Jesus says, to the church. Now, this is mysterious. Because Jesus talks to his apostles here in a way that he's not talking to you and me. And the reason we know that is these words that he said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's not talking to me. He's not talking to you. What you loose on earth is not loosed in heaven, and what I bind on earth is not bound in heaven. He's talking to his apostles as leaders of the church here, and you know what he's establishing? Is the biblical foundation for that unpleasant reality that we call excommunication. And on this subject, you've got to help me get the word out, because people misunderstand excommunication up and down the street. People think that excommunication is the church's way of being mean to people. Or they think that excommunication is the church's statement that someone is irrevocably bound for hell. Not true. Not true. Excommunication is a very severe mercy. It's a way of saying, if you don't change your behavior, not only are you hurting yourself, not only are you hurting others, you're hurting the entire church. And your relationship with God is going no place until you change this behavior. And the reason why we know that he's talking about excommunication here is Jesus says, treat them as you would treat a Gentile or a tax collector. Do you know what Gentiles and tax collectors had in common? Both of them were forbidden from communal worship in the temple, right? That's why he's talking. So help me get the word out. Excommunication. It's probably grossly underused in our current society. But it doesn't come from the church. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from Jesus Christ. But you know, there's a way in which our Lord is talking to us in this, and he's talking to us directly. And it goes like this. How did Jesus treat a Gentile? How did Jesus treat a tax collector? Did he cut off all communication with them? No. He talked to them. He tried to teach them. He had meals with them. He tried to keep the lines of communication open, which is a way of saying that if you've tried and tried and tried again to bring someone's behavior around and they won't do anything about it and they just dig in their heels, please try to keep the lines of communication open. Don't cut off him. Don't cut off your relationship with them. And if all else fails, what do? You pray for them. Which is why Jesus ends by saying, if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So, a little tiny word here about relationships. Relationships in our lives, at once both the most rewarding part of our lives and the most challenging. There is no relationship without confrontation. And it's often unpleasant. So please don't fall into the trap of thinking that being unpleasant is somehow being unchristlike. I hope you already know this already, but there are plenty of times in the scriptures where Jesus was very unpleasant. You know, he called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, dead sepulchres full of dead men's bones and filth. That the last thing he'd call that is pleasant. Christianity does not reduce to being nice. Let's get that idea out of our heads. What does it reduce to? It reduces to love. And love means doing what's best for somebody else, whether it's pleasant or not. And sometimes it's not. Every person in your life, and I mean every single person in your life, is there for a reason. Some people are there to console you. Some people are there to console you, to help you, to comfort you. But most people in your life are there to purify you. Did you know that? Most people in your life, I like the way St. Jose Maria Escriva said it. He says, don't say that person annoys me. Say that person sanctifies me. Because you want to know something. If you can be charitable to someone who's difficult, you will purify your soul of all of its faults. If these people are in your life because they are the pipe cleaners of the soul, act with charity towards difficult people and you will be fit for the kingdom of heaven. Let's listen to what our Lord says, that we might act as our Lord acts. Amen.